Welcome back to Amanla, African Perspective. And as I mentioned just before the break, we're going to have a specific look at the changing face of labor in South Africa. And South Africa has been witnessing recently lots of unrest and changes taking place within the labor movement in general. We can mention events like the Marikana massacres, where a couple of workers have been murdered by the police recently in the last couple of years. The other changes also can be the recent disaffiliation of NUMSA, which is becoming a major player in the labor scene in South Africa, from COSATU. COSATU is the confederation of different trade union movements who are part of the tripartite alliance that is ruling South Africa since the 1994 elections. So there's a lot of changes within the labor movement in general, and we have witnessed recently also the emergence of new actors who are trying to mobilize within the agricultural sector. And one of the leading organizations in that sector is SAWU, the Commercial Stevedore Agricultural and Allied Workers. And to analyze all those changes happening within the labor movement, and also want to look at the issue being facing all some of this organization, I have invited today my special guest, Chris Webb, who is a PhD student in the Department of Geography and Planning at the University of Toronto, to discuss with us about all these changes happening within the labor movement, and also at the end maybe focus a little bit on this specific case of SAWU, who's been facing some challenges. Chris, can you hear me properly?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thanks.
And thanks for being with us. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, there's a ongoing change within the labor movement in South Africa in general. But before we get to that, maybe can you replace us into the context of the role the unions have been playing historically in South Africa since the struggle against apartheid until now, maybe the role they play?
Sure. Yeah, no, happy to. So, I mean, unions have played a really important historic role in South Africa, you know, well before apartheid began. We can go all the way back to 1946 to the first African miners' strike, which is this first mass action by African workers. And then, you know, there are a number of sort of important moments between then and now. In 1973, there was a major strike in Durban of 100,000 workers. They walked out in opposition to low wages, but also things like racial discrimination in workplaces, pass laws. This is, you know, during the height of apartheid. There were major restrictions on people's movements around the country as well. So that was the genesis of that strike. And that strike in 73 led to the formation of COSATU, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, in 1985. And I mean, COSATU at this stage, you know, makes a decision that the only way to actually fight for workers' rights in South Africa, and the only way to build unity and non-racialism amongst the workers in the country, is to end apartheid itself. So it becomes very politicized at this time, and it begins to join the mass struggle within the ANC and the UDF, the Outer Democratic Front, which was this movement of unions and churches and civil society organizations against apartheid. But I mean, I think the most important thing to remember when we think about unions in South Africa is specifically that they protected workers against the daily indignities of racism that they faced in the workplace. And this is, you know, why unions were so strong during the years of apartheid, and why they remain so strong today, because many of these issues remain a problem in the workplace. So when we talk today about the issues that farm workers face, you know, the reason that unions are so important in that sector and so widely supported amongst workers is because they continue to challenge issues of racism in the workplace. So just to catch up, since 1994, since the end of apartheid, COSATU has been in a formal alliance with the ANC and the Communist Party, which means they support them in elections, but they don't always necessarily support them in terms of their economic and political policies. So COSATU has definitely been working quite hard since 1994 and trying to push the ANC to adopt more pro-worker, more socialist types of policies, but they've been pretty unsuccessful in doing this. In 2007, for example, they pushed to have Jacob Zuma, the current president, elected, thinking that he would be a more pro-worker, more leftist president than Mbeki before him. But the policies that Zuma has implemented, most recently this national democratic plan for the economy, has pretty much been a repeat of what we've seen under Mbeki. There haven't been any significant changes at all, and he hasn't grown closer to unions in any sense. So, you know, their attempts to push for progressive policies haven't been very successful. So some within COSATU have remained quite loyal to the ANC and have continued to support them during elections, but there have also been rumblings in the last few years, definitely of those people who want a break with the ANC, who don't want to support them in elections, who are quite dissatisfied with the economic and political direction that they have decided to take. And so recently we've seen a major split where one of the biggest, or the biggest union within COSATU, NUMSA, the Metal Workers Union, decided at first to not support the ANC in the elections this year, not to support the re-election of Jacob Zuma, even though they were definitely one of the unions that helped get him elected in the first place. And so this caused major divisions within COSATU, and then this has led to the Metal Workers Union being formally kicked out of COSATU within the last month. So, I mean, this is all very, very worrying because it, you know, opens up COSATU to further splits, to further divisions. A lot of these divisions are based on, you know, real politics, but a lot of them are, you know, based on personalities as well to some degree. So it's worrying because it's a major weakening of COSATU, which has been a vocal critic of the ANC. It undermines COSATU's historic mission to be a voice for all workers. So, I mean, those are some of the concerns. On the other hand, it does maybe open up some spaces for the Metal Workers Union, NUMSA, to do its own thing. And it has this idea of starting a united front of workers and progressive forces and civil society in South Africa, and eventually to perhaps form a workers' party to contest the elections, the next elections that are coming up. So these are some of the major changes that are happening recently, but you know, they have their historic roots in this alliance that COSATU has with the ANC, but also some of the real dissatisfactions that unions have had recently with COSATU and the economic, or at least, sorry, with the ANC and the economic direction it's gone in over the last 20 years.
Right. And I mentioned in my introduction the Marikana massacre a couple of years ago, and maybe just remind our listeners who might not be aware of that situation, what happened during that period, and then what happened during that led to the massacre of the Marikana massacres. Some information for listeners to understand.
Sure. I mean, the Marikana massacre is definitely one of these, you know, touchstone moments in post-apartheid history that is incredibly tragic for so many reasons, but also I think really reveals the direction that the post-apartheid state and the ANC is going in, which is a more militarized type of state, and also a type of state that's really unwilling to listen to any voices that don't sort of, you know, correspond or don't fit within its structures as well. So what happened at Marikana is the outcome of a long strike by platinum mine workers in the Northwest Province. And platinum mine workers, specifically these mine workers that went on strike, which were mostly rock drill operators, they work under very, very stressful, very dangerous conditions. And for a long time, they had been protesting around their inadequate wages. They said their wages were inadequate to support their families, their living conditions, and this has been quite well documented by a number of organizations and staff. Their living conditions are quite bad. Mines a few years ago paid out this allowance where workers would no longer live in compounds on the mines. They would live in settlements near the mines, but their allowance for housing was not high enough. So this was a strike that was ongoing around these issues, wages, housing, and a number of mine workers tried to go through their union, the National Union of Mine Workers, who was a part of COSATU and aligned with the ANC. But the National Union of Mine Workers had become quite cozy with management, with Lonmin. This is a multinational mining company based out of the UK, although on the board of directors of this company is Cyril Ramaphosa, who is the vice president of the country right now and was also a major union leader in the 1980s. So they tried to go through their union, but this was unsuccessful. There was actually some sort of violent clashes with their own union. And so they decided to go on their own independent Wildcat strike to bring up these issues. But because they were going through the union, management refused to talk to them. The state refused to deal with them. And eventually, in early August, the state and the police called upon hundreds of police to come and confront these mine workers, and 34 of them were shot by police. And since that happened, there have been a number of investigations that have been done independently that have shown that many of these mine workers were killed at very close distances, shot execution style as they were running away. And there's a fantastic documentary that's just come out called Miners Shot Down by Rehad Desai, which really shows that, you know, these mine workers were actually trying to disperse and leave this hill when the massacre happened. So, you know, it was a very punitive targeting of them by police. And it seems like it was a very sort of calculated and deliberate act as well. So, I mean, that the Marikana massacre is one of these moments that, you know, unions, particularly NUMSA, the Metal Workers Union, has gone back to and said, you know, the ANC hasn't explained this, COSATU hasn't condemned this strongly enough, and so, you know, we need an explanation for this. Mm-hmm. The official state investigation has not produced any, decent response to it either. So it's quite worrying. It's still something that remains largely unexplained or unacknowledged by the state.
Right. And within that context, there are emergence of new actors, of new form of labor organizing. And one example that we can give is the SAWU, the Commercial Stevedore Agriculture and Allied Workers Union, who's been organizing farm workers in the Western Cape for some years and have fought some very tough battle to stop farm evictions and increase wages and stop brutal and racist attack against farm workers. You have worked a little bit closely with some of the leadership of this union. Tell us a little bit what kind of work they do, the context in which they evolve, and the kind of issues, because I understand they're facing right now some threats to shut down the union, but we'll get to that later on. But give us a little bit of understanding of what they're trying to do and the nature of this new actor within the labor movement in South Africa.
So, I mean, you know, historically, the unions that are affiliated with COSATU have gone by this idea of one sector, one union, you know. So NUMSA will organize metal workers because they're the metal workers union. So now there's been this, you know, kind of push among some unions that are dissatisfied with COSATU that says, well, you know, we shouldn't just be organizing workers in one sector like metal. We should organize across a whole range of sectors. And that's what COSATU is trying to do as well. They're trying to organize workers in agriculture, but across the entire agricultural value chain. So people that work on farms, people that work in pack houses, people that, you know, work in grocery stores, all the type of stuff. So they are an independent union, unaffiliated with COSATU. They have some connections with some progressive political groups in South Africa, like the Democratic Left Front. And, you know, what they're trying to do is organize workers in a sector that have historically been unorganized. There's been no major attempts to organize farm workers in South Africa really ever. There's been a few isolated attempts in certain regions, but never on the scale that they are trying to do it. So it's very difficult work. And just to give you an idea of why, the agricultural sector, particularly in the area they're organizing, which is in the Western Cape province, which is the regions around Cape Town is where they're doing most of their work. This is an area where the type of labor relations that persist are still these very dependent, very paternalistic labor relations that really go back to slavery and the history of slavery in the Cape as well, where farm workers will live on the farm in housing provided by the owner of the farm. And so you have this very close relationship developing between farm owner and farm workers that is very dependent. They depend on them for their wages, but also the schooling of their children and their housing, all of these types of things. And there's definitely a racial hierarchy within that as well. I mean, you know, it'll be no surprise for your listeners to hear that the owners of these farms are primarily white, and the workers that work on these farms are the descendants of slaves in this region going back over 200 years. So that's the dynamics of labor relations on these farms. And so what COSATU was trying to do is make some inroads amongst these workers and really just begin by empowering them to actually organize on these farms. It's an area where there's been no union organizing in the past, so they've just been trying to empower workers to actually, you know, organize, actually stand up for their labor rights. If there is an issue on the farm, like inadequate provision of water or housing, to actually confront the farm owner and demand to have their labor rights respected. So that's where they've begun. Mm-hmm. And they've recently moved on to having wage negotiations with these farmers as well. And in some cases, they've been very, very successful in doing this. During 2012-2013, there was a major strike of farm workers in this region that was quite heavily supported by Kasawu. And in the end, because of its ongoing nature and the timing of the strike around the harvesting season, they were able to get the minimum wage for farm workers increased by 52% mm-hmm. Countrywide, which is a major victory. So that's where they come from in terms of the union. They face some major challenges because of the fact that, you know, they organize workers who make incredibly low wages, which means the dues they pay to the union are incredibly low. And so whenever the union faces some major costs, such as a legal challenge or somebody bringing charges, a farm owner bringing charges against one of their members for whatever reason, and they have to fight these in court or get extra resources, it's very difficult for the union to actually confront these.
Right. And I understand that they have been facing some court challenges that are threatening to bring down this union. What happened exactly in that case? Why they are right now under threat of closing shops?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, this goes back to the general strike of farm workers that I was talking about. So in 2012-2013, there was the strike wave that spread. I mean, it increased the wage for farm workers across the country, but it was mostly concentrated in the Western Cape province, in this region where Kasawu does most of its work. And so, I mean, what occurred is you have, you know, a walkout from farms by thousands of farm workers. The strike was initially led by sort of temporary and part-time farm workers, you know, many of them who earn wages lower than permanent farm workers, a lot of them who are living in kind of slums within rural areas that have developed as well. A lot of them were migrant workers that come down from Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Lesotho as well to work on farms during this time of year. So that was who was involved. And so the strike, you know, goes on for about 6 months. Eventually, the government agrees to step in. I mean, this is after, you know, just thinking about its connection to Marikana here, this is after there was major police involvement. Three workers were killed mm-hmm. during this general strike wave, and there was major, just from reports they got from people who were there, you know, major police intimidation, you know, going into people's homes and beating up people and this kind of stuff as well. And there was also a lot of private security that was hired by farm workers to protect packing sheds and vineyards and this type of stuff as well. So that was what was going on during the strike. And the strike ends in February of 2013, and the wage goes up. But then, of course, there's quite a lot of reprisals against workers by employers, by farm owners. And so some of the outcomes of this for Kasawu has been that, you know, they've had to go and defend their members who have been laid off as a result of the strike. And so there've been a few cases they've been dealing with where they've taken these dismissals to the labor court and said, you know, look, these were workers who, you know, went on strike during the strike wave, as thousands of them did. And when they came back to work, they were told they no longer had a job. Mm-hmm. But the labor courts have not really been very kind to Kasawu. And this is part of the difficulties of challenging these things legally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been quite clear in previous cases that the labor courts aren't very kind to unions. And this is particularly in an area where the labor courts probably tend to be run by people who have connections to commercial farmers. As well, so there could be that kind of connection there as well. And so, you know, they went to the labor courts with these charges against these dismissed members. The court said, you know, that there's no case to be made here, and then they actually put cost orders onto Kasawu, claiming that, you know, because of their support for the strike, this incurred significant costs for farmers, And so Gefell has to pay back hundreds of thousands of rands. It comes to about $60,000 in costs to these farmers for losses in production as well. And so, I mean, because the union makes, because their members make very low wages and the dues they pay to the union are so low, there's no way that they can actually pay these cost orders as well. So, I mean, in the past when I've worked with them, it's been very difficult for them to operate when they have minor legal expenses, but these are major legal expenses. Right. So right. For them, it's quite difficult, yeah.
Right. And so concretely, how people can support them in terms of facing these financial challenges to help their members and then help them keep this union, which is very useful for defending one of the most vulnerable sectors of the African South African societies. How can how can people can help and support mostly in terms of solidarity to support the work they're doing?
Right. So, I mean, what they've done recently is launched an online solidarity fundraising campaign to help cover some of the costs of these legal expenses. And in the past, they've launched similar campaigns that have been quite successful. So we hope they're successful again. If you'd like to find out more about the union and the work they're doing and contribute to this campaign to pay some of these cost orders and cover these costs, you can go to their website where there's a link to their donation page. They have an Indiegogo donation page where you can donate. And so the website is CASAWU, so that's CASAAWU dot always data, that's ALWAYSDATA.net, and there's a link from there straight to their donation page where you can give a donation. So that's CASAWU.alwaysdata.net. You can always you can also find them excuse me on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and you just search for CASAWU, CSAAWU, the first page that pops up is their page, and they're posting every single day about their updates on the work they're doing and how you can donate as well. So I'd recommend both going there and reading more about them, and if you can make a donation, it will make a significant difference to them and the work they do. But also, I know that they really appreciate getting messages from around the world, from people who are expressing solidarity with them as well. So if you'd like to send them an email, their email address is on their website, or you can just send them a message on Facebook as well. They really appreciate those, and they usually post them up on their websites as well. So, I mean, I'd encourage people, you know, particularly thinking about the struggles that farm workers here in Canada and in Ontario specifically face. There are quite a few parallels here between what farm workers are facing in Canada and South Africa as well. I mean, the context is different in so many ways, but one of the things that I encountered when I was there was the definite growth of a kind of labor broking, labor recruiting system, whereby workers that work on these farms pay money to recruiters to then go and actually get jobs on these farms, which is something that we're seeing here in Canada and Ontario, with the way that farm workers from Mexico or from the Caribbean actually pay recruiters to get these jobs as well. So there are quite a few parallels to think about too. So I'd encourage people that are thinking about these issues to go and check out the website and make a donation if they can.
All right, that's perfect. I would like to thank you very much for all this information, and I will follow up very closely what's happening there, and I will give again the direction for people who want to support them. And as you mentioned, it's not always about money. If you can support in a different ways, it's always appreciated for people who are on the front line struggling to know that people are sharing their struggle and then they can morally or financially support their struggle. So thank you very much for being with us today, Chris, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Amar.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye.
That was my guest, special guest, Chris Webb, PhD student here at the University of Toronto, and we've been talking about the emerging role of the changing face of labor in South Africa, and focusing on a special case, which is the CASAWU. It's a union that's spelled CS. CASAWU, and you can look them up, and then or any kind of solidarity actions or support is appreciated. So